His word, I've been set free.
Thank you, praise team. If you have your notes, turn to the last page that says addendum. If you ever get a contract and it has addendum on it, read the addendum first. Well, Pastor, if it's all the way at the back, why not read the addendum first? Because the addendum is there to change something that's in the contract. And a lot of people read the contract, don't read the addendum, and they lose out. Now, if you're doing something else, get ready to stop doing it. And you're going to agree with our brother, and you're going to then go with me slowly, because I want to help you tonight very much.
Father God, we thank you this night, Lord God, that your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, Father God. We thank you that we sit at the table, Lord, to receive the bread of life. This night, Lord God, we empty ourselves. We make the decision to receive the It Is Written grafted word of truth into our hearts, and to not only hear it, Lord, but to be changed by it, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that the man of God has ears to hear what you say and speak it clearly, and we have hearts to receive it and to be changed by it, Father. We thank you this night that your word has free course in this place and in our lives, Lord God, and we purpose to receive it and allow that word to become life in our lives, Lord. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my brother. I want to share with you that the message tonight is different than where I was started, and the Lord willing, we'll pick it up next week or the week after or whenever, because we've been teaching on the lessons that our Lord taught on Wednesday night and receiving insight, but the message tonight comes out of a place of grief and dismay and almost hurt that occurred to me this morning. And after I read this email, I could not go back to the lessons, because I want our people to be so equipped that the devil never accomplishes another victory in any area of your life for the rest of your life. And if you will avoid looking at your phone, talking to your friends, doing your nails or whatever else tonight, and just stay with me for the next few minutes. I want to help you. I really do. Because sometimes it hurts me, John, when people come to me and say, man, I wish I had faith like you. Well, there's only one brand. There's only one faith. People come and say, I wish I could believe God like you do. You're just reckless in believing God. I'm not reckless. There's nothing hard about it. God said, period. Well, Pastor, how do you keep going, you know? You got to get paid. No, I don't. Well, how do you keep going, you know? You got to. No, I don't. My God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. He has seen me through death. He has seen me through what would have bankrupted anybody else that didn't trust God's word. He has seen me through so many things. There's so many times I should have been dead, and I'm still alive. Not just once that we all talk about, but many times I should have been dead, and I'm still here. Why? God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his call. You know, one of the greatest points of strength in your life is, what has God ever called you to do? I know a pastor, I didn't know him personally, but I read his book, so that's close. And he was faced with bankruptcy, went through it. He was faced with death, went through it. Car wrecks, all kinds of things that came to challenge him. And people asked him, said, how were you able to stand? He said, God told me that he was going to help me build this church, and it ain't built. Now, what was the secret he was holding on to? If God orders it, he will be faithful to it until it's done. Moses lost out on the promised land that God told him he could go to. But Moses couldn't go because he wouldn't stay one with God's doing it, not me controlling the people is doing it. Whole lot of ministries lose it there. And so they start trying to control the people. And I've been told that I can't pastor the way I do because if you leave it up to the people, it'll never get done. Excuse me. I happen to believe that God in you is bigger than you. But this morning I was checking my emails, and usually between midnight and 7 a.m. I'll get from 3 to 8 emails every night. And one night recently, 13 emails between midnight and 7 a.m. But a lot of people think that I don't need to sleep, and so, you know, I get texts during the night. Lou, next morning, she'll go, "Who was texting you last night?" I go, "I don't know. I'll look in a minute." I got good news for you. Unless the Holy Spirit confirms your text, I don't go over and check to see who was texting me. But I was reading my emails this morning, and I got down to the Elijah list. And I read what Steve Schultz wrote on the Elijah list, which is a daily newsletter on the prophetic ministry and prophetic words and prophets, and I found that about most of them really qualify into their non-profit status. Because there's some goofy prophecies going on out there that violate God's word. But Steve Schultz wrote a letter. He wasn't giving someone else's prophecy day. He was giving his letter to the people. He said, "I know that we had thousands of prayer warriors in deep travail or in deep prayer or something concerning the case of same-sex marriage before the Supreme Court. And if we had thousands of people in prayer at this website, then all the other websites out there that was leading their following in prayer, there must have been hundreds of thousands of people praying against the court ruling in favor of same-sex marriage. And I couldn't sleep, and so I found peace when I remembered the words of David. When they came to him and said, 'The baby's dead,' and he got up and he washed himself and went about his business." And the court has ruled, the baby is dead, it's time to go on with the business of the ministry. I was so glad. My Bible tells me of a Shunammite woman who wouldn't give up because her kid was dead. She went to a man of God, not a person with a prophetic website. And I thought of David, who wouldn't give up when Israel was at an impasse. There's nothing we can do. None of us can handle Goliath. That's too big a deal to handle. Are you listening? Of Daniel, who said to the king, "No sweat, king. I'll see you in the morning. Ain't nothing but a den of lions. I'm going to get some sleep. Don't let your heart be troubled. I'll see you in the morning." Now, had Steve Schultz been writing that prophetic letter, he would have said, "Poor Daniel." What about someone watching as they grab the three Hebrew children and heave them into the fire? Well, we prayed. We was believing God, but they're in the fire now. Some through the flame, some through the flood, but believers all go through the blood. And I said, "Daddy, what shall we say to this matter?" And so we're going to give you the first, what are we at, three pages? Three pages of notes in a minute, but I want you to start with the addendum. So if all of you have gotten to the last page now, there should be verses that you have written in your journal, that you have on 3x5 cards, that you have indexed in your binder. If you do not, you are missing out in your prayer life. There are certain foundational passages that you have to sustain your prayer life. Now, a few Wednesday nights ago, Carl Baranczyk was here, and he touched on the one that I've began you with for the last 30 years, Genesis 1, 26 and 28. You have authority and dominion of the earth. That is a part of your prayer life. Father, you gave me dominion to rule in the earth. You started it all with your word, so you were teaching me that with your word, I can continue your rule in the earth. Why aren't we ruling in the earth? Because there are too many stupid Christians praying for God to do stuff. I know this is going out live streaming. I know you're all here, and I want you to hear me again. You're a stupid Christian if you're praying for God to do anything. God said he is bound by his word. So why are you asking him to do things when you don't know what his word has said he will do? Quit praying, God, heal me. That's a stupid prayer. Because God said, I'm bound to my word, and my word says, with his stripes you were healed. Can you receive that as your truth, or are you still waiting for your feelings to tell me or to tell you that I'm true? Quit praying for God to bless you financially. That's a stupid prayer. God said he's bound to his word. His word said he supplies all your need. Until you can celebrate that truth, you're going to be broke. Are severely lacking within your ability to pay your bills. You see, I don't want to live in my ability to pay my bills. I want to live in my God supplies all of my need. I don't want to live in my ability to keep me healthy. Y'all know I screwed that up. About 8,000 Dr. Peppers and 4 million Hershey's with almond bars and too many nights sitting down with a half gallon of ice cream and going, is that all we got? I can't keep me healthy. All the doctors in the world can't keep me healthy. With the stripes I was healed can.
Yes.
So I have learned to celebrate the truth of God's word. When I want something from God, I remind him of what he said, because he said, remind me of my word. That's Isaiah. He said, come, let us reason together. Can you reason with God on your level? No. You can't reason with God on your level. You have to reason with God on his level. When you go to the bank, do they reason with you on your level? Well, I need some money. No, they reason with you on their level, which is, what is your ability to pay? What collateral do you have in case you don't pay? Because we don't reason on your level of need. We reason on, is this a good loan? Not unless you're the banker's brother-in-law. So when I read this, I thought, dear God, I cast those words down. I curse the words of Steve Schultz, and I curse the understanding of people who will read those words that they are not moved by this deception and this falsehood. One, it is not over because the Supreme Court ruled. The other night I was watching a program about the number of cases that have been reversed in the last few years where people were judged with death sentences. DNA came in, put it wrong, and judges, in several of the cases, the very judge who tried the case reversed himself. There were a few cases where the judge wouldn't, and now that judge is under investigation because when evidence was presented, he wouldn't reverse himself, and so now he's in trouble for his decision. I would not be surprised in the very near future to see impeachment proceedings against the Supreme Court. Why? They have now 4 decisions on the books, 3 major trials and 1 minor, where they violated the Constitution and went outside the Constitution and interpreted public policy and politics instead of the Constitution. Because purely by the Constitution, they could not have ruled the way they did. What is that? Malfeasance in office? That's a misuse of jurisprudence. It violates their oath of office to defend the Constitution. And it also violates the judicial mandate not to make law, but to interpret law. And what they just did was they made a new law. And then they ruled that Obamacare penalties is a tax when the Constitution says only the House of Representatives can institute a tax. The President can't. And so they violated the Constitution to approve a mandate based upon something that violates the Constitution. Pastor, why are you giving us a political lesson? Because when you see it happening, things are going to change. The last few days you saw in the news, if you've been watching the news, that there's a new term in the English language, Grex. G-R-E-X-I-T, Grex, or Greek exit. It's a new word that's been introduced into the political community, which means Greece is leaving the European common market. It is expected that Spain and Italy will follow, and that the next big announcement will be Germany and Britain leaving the EU, which will mean the European common market will fall apart. Now you're saying to me, Pastor, why are you talking to us about this? Now we moved to this building, what, February 1st, 2011? So it was the late part of 2010. Some of you remember we were on I-35. And I told you one Wednesday night, I was on that walking on that side of the auditorium, and I said, you're going to see in the coming days the European common market fall apart, and it will begin with Greece. Now then, I don't have a prophetic newsletter going out every day telling people the latest and greatest prophecies from Mary Stupid or Billy, don't know. But I do know God. And so, in the latter part of 2010, those of you who were in the congregation heard me boldly tell you that the European common market had taken a move and that it would fall apart. It would begin with Greece. It would extend to Spain. It would go to Italy. I believe I talked about Portugal, but I cannot at this time remember for sure, so I won't say that. But I do remember telling you about Italy and Spain. It would start with Greece, and the European common market would fall apart because they had become a weapon formed against the dollar. And as long as the dollar says, in God we trust, and there is a faction within the government, especially with this administration, that wants to take that off the currency. But they're not going to, and they cannot. But you see, there are people that will tell you, Pastor says some of these crazy things. But I was standing on that same side one night when I said, another time, it wasn't that night, but I was standing on that same area, and the Lord said to me, buy copper. And I said, buy copper. Some of you did. Derek told me he made more on copper than he did his other investments. Why? When God tells you something, I'm right in the middle of a message, and God says, buy copper. And I just said it out. God said, buy copper. People did it. It works. Well, Pastor, why don't you have stuff all the time? I don't explain them. I just do them. But I could boldly tell you, because of what I knew in my spirit, the European common market, which at that time was threatening to destroy the dollar, and around the world they were saying the euro was stronger than the dollar, was going to be worth more, and already it's crumbling in comparison to the dollar. Now, I told you at that time also, the next thing you would hear was that the Chinese yuan was going to replace the dollar. They have opened the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank to compete with the dollar, and all the prognosticators of financial expediency are telling you the yuan is going to become a global reserve currency and unseat the dollar. Remember what I told you. I told you it was coming. I told you it would happen. And I'm telling you this. It'll fail. Why? Because as long as the U.S. dollar says, "In God we trust," it will not be unseated. Well, Pastor, what about this and what about that? I know one thing. God is greater. And if America can remain great with the garbage and junk and horrible stuff that's going on within our political and governmental structures, think of what it could be if some of our people rose up and entered the spheres of influence and began to exert godly influence in the spheres of influence and change our world. No, I don't want to build a camp and us all get away from society and get out there and raise crops and you know, let the world go to hell in the handbasket and we'll have our own little commune. That's dumb. God didn't send us into the world to hide our light from the world. He sent us into the world to be light in the world. But my heart was crushed and I was grieved. And I had to fight the temptation to send in a response to this demonic gobbledygook. I was upset about the decision. And I couldn't understand how with hundreds of thousands of prayer warriors praying this could happen. Because most of them wasn't praying, they was blathering idiotic stuff. They was telling God their will, not returning God's word to him. They weren't really praying. They were just saying stuff and aiming it at God, and he wasn't listening. Because it's impossible to be in agreement simply because you have two or more people saying the same thing. Unless what they're saying aligns with God's promises in his word. And so I asked Daddy, "What do I do?" And he said, "Brighten the corner where you are." I don't know but what one of you is going to be a David and step up to slay a Goliath. I don't know but what one of you is going to be in a position like Joe the plumber, who happened to be at a demonstration and somebody stuck a microphone in his face, and overnight Joe the plumber was known around the world because what he said made people stop and think. The problem was somebody else stuck a microphone in front of his face and he got stupid because he thought, "Everybody's listening to me." And start with wisdom, stay with wisdom, never depart from wisdom. So I want to take you to a couple of passages. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Pastor, what does that mean, to war according to the flesh? Well, your flesh is your unrenewed mind, your unrenewed emotions, your unrenewed will, and the body it lives in. Because your flesh don't do anything that your mind doesn't tell it. So prayer can be a mental exercise much easier than it can be a spiritual exercise. So sometimes, Ethel, people are warring in the flesh instead of standing with the victory that's already won. I've said this to you before, and I say it to you again, and I'm going to explain it tonight, hopefully so that everyone will get it. There is no such thing as a spiritual prayer warrior. There are physical prayer warriors, but there are no spiritual prayer warriors. Why? Because if you are agreeing with the Holy Spirit, you know the victory was won in the resurrection, and your job is to enforce the victory he won to demonstrate Satan's defeat. It is not to fight Satan. So if you are a spiritual warrior, a prayer warrior, what are you fighting? If Satan is paralyzed, God said he's paralyzed. The only thing that works on him is his lie. So if all he has is a lie, what are you fighting? I know in the church community there is a big move, and there are clinics and all that on spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is a joke. It is something that causes the devil and the demons of darkness to slap their sides and bend over in laughter and roar while idiots are going to prayer conferences to learn how to travail, to intercede, to pray, to birth. No. Intercession is simple. You stand between a situation and God, and you agree with God's word concerning that situation. Well, I've got to pray them through. That's warring after the flesh. Because somehow with your flesh, if you pray enough, you're going to get it done. Well, what is it you're going to get done that Jesus didn't accomplish in the resurrection? When he said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Now, where is this power that you're fighting? One more time. Jerry, you got to look them in the eye and say to them, if we believe that our Lord was resurrected triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, and he stood on the Mount of Ascent and said, all, A-double-L, all power in heaven and in earth is given to me. What is the power we're travailing against? What is the power we're trying to war against? Church, am I making sense to you? Are you getting this? I'm not being mean and cruel when I tell you there's no such thing as a spiritual prayer warrior. That's a lie of the devil. It's a joke of demonic influence. And I hate to hear people so deceived. God did not say, fight the devil. He said, fight the good fight of faith. What is the fight of faith? The fight to stay one with God said, when everything about you is screaming, it won't work. Fight the good fight of faith is the only fight you're called to fight. It doesn't say casting down demons. It says casting down thoughts and imaginations that want to argue against God's word. There is no warfare outside of your head. If he has conquered Satan, and all Satan has is a lie, and he tells you all his emissaries are lying in wait to deceive you, then what is the only thing you're fighting? Deception, which lies against God said. Save your money and don't go to some stupid spiritual warfare clinic because it's of the devil and it's not of God. He said, occupy till I come. He didn't say, go win me a victory. One more time. He did not say, go fight the devil. Go defeat Satan. Go conquer hell. He said, occupy the victory I have won till I come. His word is the victory. So the fight is all in your head, trying to determine, is it true that with his stripes I was healed? Because do I believe my body that's telling me I'm not, or do I believe God's word that's telling me I am? Do I believe my bank account that's telling me God doesn't supply my needs, or do I believe God who said he supplies my need? If your bank account prompts your prayer, you're in sin. If your physical feelings prompt your prayer, you're in sin. Most of the prayer prayed in the church is prayed from sin, not from faith. Because their prayer is motivated by what they see, what they feel, what they think, what they hear. It is not motivated by God said. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. I'm not looking for a way to put my fleshly temple to work to win a victory. All I've got to do is trust and obey. There ain't no other way. Though our natural man walks around in an earth suit, we are not limited to the physical realm when it comes to dominion or authority. I don't have to do it. I only agree with him and enforce what he did. With his stripes I was healed. It's my job to enforce that, not to pray, God, when are you going to heal me? It's not my job to ask you, Brother Demetrius, we prayed, now how do you feel? What kind of idiotic Christian thing is that to ask somebody how they feel after you pray for them? You've just entered into exercising the word, hopefully, and now you're going to ask what's feeling got to do with it? Back to another converted song. We're going to do a little Tina Turner here. What's feelings got to do with it? All prayer should be in agreement with a promise of God, or it's not prayer. This week I found a book called Praying the Bible, and I ordered it because I am in the midst of writing that portion of my book on prayer, that all prayer has to start with, end with, and be supported by a passage of Scripture. It's not prayer. If you're praying what you want, it's not prayer. If it's praying what you need, it's not prayer. The only prayer that you can pray outside of God's word is mercy or help. You can cry out for help because he said that he would help in time of need. You can cry out for mercy because his mercy is new every morning. But other than help and mercy, every prayer should be, it is written. When the devil confronted the Lord Jesus, how did he answer him? It is written. Why? That's how you destroy the works of Satan. That's how you obtain the victory. That's how you stand one with God. What has God said? That is the root of every prayer and the strength of every prayer. Your word is a strong tower to which I run. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Now stop. Where does prayer occur? Where does prayer occur? Do you pray, we'll skip the obvious, out of some other orifice of your body? Where do you pray? What is your mouth? Flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh. So it is not the use of your mouth that wins a victory. It is the use of your faith that enforces the victory that's already won. You see, the mistake of most people's prayer is they're trying to get God to do. And most of the prayer about the Supreme Court was people praying, God, do something about the court. And God said, I told you to rule and reign in the earth. And I limited myself to three arenas that I would intervene in. And other than that, I left the rule of the earth up to you. For the weapons of our warfare do not work in fleshly operation. Well, I think we should pray. Well, that's not God. But divinely. Now, in my notes, I've underlined the word divinely. If you're highlighting or if you are marking your notes, mark the word divinely because I want you to get this. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now stop with me. Where do you remember another place that tells us how to access the divine? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, there are exceeding great and precious promises that by taking advantage of these promises, you might become partakers of. How does your prayer become divinely powerful? By praying, God said, Father, I thank you. It is written, says, with his stripes I was healed. Therefore, this, whatever it is, that's touching your physical being is a lie. It's a lie of the devil. It was defeated in the resurrection. I curse it, I cast it down, I put it under my feet, and I'm not tolerating this, because it is written, with the stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I is healed. Since I is healed, this lie's got to go. Lie, leave my body now. The weapons of our warfare do not operate on a fleshly level. Well, I think we need to pray. I need to pray all night. Brother Rob, I need you to pray a strong prayer. I have people call me up, Pastor, this is important. I need you to pray hard on this. God delivered me from being hard and he made me tender. Why would you want me to pray a hard prayer? No. Never ask anyone to agree with you in prayer until you have a promise. There are exceeding great and precious promises that by these promises you might release or act in the divine nature. Become partakers of. I can act like God if I've got God's word on it. How do I act like God? I decree. It is written, my God supplies all of my need. That's God's word. That's my word. That's done. I am not quoting God. I have taken the divine nature. Be therefore imitators of God as his dear children. God speaks to things. Jesus spoke to things. I speak to things. But I don't speak my word, neither did Jesus. He said, I don't say anything of myself. What was he doing? He was teaching us how to pray. I say nothing of myself, but only what I've heard of the Father. If it worked for him, then never pray the need. Never pray what you want. Never pray what you would like. Pray what his word has promised. Well, Pastor, what if there's not a promise that covers it? Then you're a liar or a cheat. One of two. You're a liar or a cheat. Either you're lying against God's word that says there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness, or you're a cheat and you're trying to get something out of God that violates his promise. The weapons of our warfare do not operate on or from a fleshly level. So it's not a matter of praying a strong prayer, praying harder, getting a prayer chain going, praying around the clock. It's not the length of time you spend in prayer. Because the only time, the length of time you spend in prayer matters is when you spend enough time praying God's word to change your mind. The only time the length of prayer matters is when you spend enough time praying the word to wash your mind or change your mind about what you think concerning what the word said. They are divinely powerful. What are divinely powerful? God's promises. Jesus never prayed anything that he hadn't heard God say, so we should never. If we're imitators of God as dear children, we should never pray anything that we haven't heard from God. To tear down strongholds, divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or the tearing down of strongholds. Where are the strongholds? In your head, because that's where this passage started out with. Casting down every thought or imagination that would replace every thought and matter that exalts itself against the word of God. So he said, the warfare is getting your thinking to agree with God. Excuse me. So you tear down strongholds, that's walls, gates, whatever, that are in your head, and then you use that word to Matthew 16:18, kick in the gates of hell and take back what the devil stole from you. The gates of hell shall not prevail against a believer. What does it mean to prevail against? It means you're attacking and it's trying to stop you. It's not that the devil's bringing his gates around and beating you with his gates. It's that you're down there kicking the gates in and he can't keep you from coming in and getting what he stole from you. Now zero in on the solid truth of verse 5 from 2 Corinthians 10. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Where do you get the knowledge of God from? It is written. So we're destroying what speculation? Well, I wonder if I really was healed with the stripes. I mean, if I really was healed with the stripes, how could I be feeling sick now? I mean, if I was healed 2,000 years ago, surely I shouldn't have this pain. I mean, how could God let this pain come on me if I was already healed? No, you can't go there. You got to go, no, God said I was healed. And God said, let every man be a liar and God be true. So the doctor's a liar, my body's a liar, and anything contrary to I'm healed is a lie, and I've got to cast it down, exalt the truth, and diminish the argument. We are destroying speculation and every lofty thing. Well, just suppose, Brother Brian, that God in His wisdom was making a Job out of you. No, there was only one Job. And God proved that a man could withstand Satan if his trust in God was strong enough without faith and without grace. He was faithful, but faith had not come yet. So he was just trusting God. But he still ranked in the faith category because before faith was really in the earth, he was doing it. And God gave us an example that here's a man with nothing but relationship, and he whipped the devil. Well, it cost him everything. He got it all back except wives. Got houses and kid and cattle and everything, but God said, I'm blessing you with everything, but after what you've been through, you can't handle more than one. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. So he's telling us right here that your prayer life is about getting rid of everything contrary to God said. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of God. How do you obey God? His word. And so any thought that tells me there's something wrong with God's word in this case, I've got to take that thought captive and say, no, thought, you're not going to live in my head, because in my head it is written lives. Speculation, thoughts of what may or may not be, every lofty thing, words, thoughts, decrees, judgments that do not align with divinely inspired truth. The believer, we are taking, must take what does not agree with God and His Word captive by using His Word to hold them accountable. What should Steve Schultz's article have began with?
It is written.
It is written. And it should have gone to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall cast down. Who's got an amplified Bible in their lap? Whoever's got an amplified Bible, the first person turning to Isaiah 54:17 with an amplified Bible, let me know you're there. What's right down here? Just making sure y'all hadn't read ahead. You got it? Read it out loud, Brother Richard. I've got it here. All of you got it.
No weapon that is formed against you will prosper.
How many?
No. None. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn.
Wait. And every tongue that arises against us in judgment. Now, what did the Supreme Court just do? They rose in judgment against righteousness, truth, and the American way. I mean, even Superman's ticked off right now. So, He said it's whose responsibility?
Ours.
So what idiot on the face of the earth would encourage people to go to prayer asking God to overrule the Supreme Court? When God said, I want Richard, I want Brian, I want Derek, I want Kennard, I want Raymond, I want you to cast down their judgment and call them null and void of effect. Okay? Start again.
This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord.
Wait a minute. This is the what?
The heritage.
This is the heritage. What does heritage mean? Your birthright. God got ticked at somebody for selling their birthright. A lot of Christians have sold their birthright to secular humanism, have sold their birthright to the devil, have sold their birthright to the court said, the doctor said, the president said, the governor said. God said, Jerry, any tongue that rises against what I've said to you, about you, and for you, you don't go to prayer asking God. So I want you to understand, there were hundreds of thousands of fools, idiots, praying for God to do something about the court when God said, this is your birthright, church. Rudy, you cast down what they said. So when the banker says he's going to take my house, what do? I curse those words and cast them down because God said he supplies all my need. Therefore, the banker and God are at odds. I'm going with God, and I'm going to make those words null and void of effect by taking it to God's word and saying, no, my God supplies all of my needs. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know through what way. But I call these words arrayed against me null and void. The doctor says you're going to die. No, it is written, with his stripes I was made whole. If I was healed, I is healed. I call those words null and void effect because they violate my birthright. My birthright said I'm the righteous of God. My birthright says I shall lack no good thing. My birthright says I'll live and not die.
Amen.
But who has to do that? It's my birthright. Phoebe has a birthright to take God's word and curse and cast down any tongue that says anything other than what God has said is her inheritance.
Amen.
I inherited health. I inherited wealth. I inherited victory. But it's up to me to enforce it, James, because if I don't, I can't ask God to. So it is stupid, dumb, ignorant, unlearned to pray for God to do anything because he has ceased from all of his works. Why did he cease from all of his works? Because his word is the end of every matter. Our Lord told us that. And the word settles every matter. Then why are we praying to God to do something that he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves or for our nation? So to say to my prophetic audience, the court has ruled, the baby's dead, let's go on with our lives. No! Father God, the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled against truth and justice, integrity, and your will and plan and purpose as annotated in your word. You said that homosexuality is a sin. It is not to be tolerated. And this night, by virtue of your word, I curse. I curse the verdict of the Supreme Court, and I call it null and void of effect, and I command it to fall powerless before your word. And furthermore, Father, I pray that the eyes of the justice be open to the truth and deception fall from them. And I pray that they cannot find sleep or slumber or rest until they reverse themselves, for their verdict is ungodly, and I'll not allow it. Pastor, who are you? to curse the Supreme Court. I am a birthright child of God who my daddy gave me the right to curse and cast down their words. And how is God going to bless those that bless me and curse those that curse me unless I am releasing God to do it? And some people, when I say I'm good ground, and people that sow into me are blessed, people go, you can't say that. Yes, I can. I got a birthright. My God said he would bless those who bless me and he'd curse those who curse me. I have seen people who began to come against me. And I can tell you what happened to them. And some of you know some of the people that came against me and what happened to them. Why? Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. No harm. That doesn't mean don't punch them, don't kick them, don't spit on them. It means don't even talk about them. Why? If your words are intended to harm them, God said, you become a weapon formed against me, and I can curse your words, and I do it daily. Daily as I'm praying for this congregation, I say, Father, for the staff, the leadership, the people of House Lord Fellowship Church and their households, I break and cast down every tongue rising against them in judgment. I call it null and void effect. If God was going to do it, why did he tell me to? Well, Pastor, it's written, he'll bless those that bless me and he'll curse those that curse me. Yes, it is. But it's also written, this is your birthright. And when one son worked the birthright, he got it all. When another son who was qualified and given the birthright but didn't work it, what did he get? Church, listen to me. There were two sons. One worked it, one didn't work it. Who got it? The one that worked it, not the one it belonged to. Positionally, everyone who blesses you being blessed and everyone who curses you being cursed is your birthright. But if you don't work your birthright, positionally, with the stripes you were healed, that's your birthright. But if you don't work it, you may be sick a lot. Positionally and possessionally are two different things. Positionally, my birthright says I'm the healed of the Lord. But he said to me, there are going to be people who are going to say you're not healed. There are going to be people who will pray, God, let him get sick so he'll learn something because he's too proud. I know people have prayed that way about me. God's let me in on it. And I pray about them. Father God, the curse causeless cannot come. I am redeemed by the blood and by your word. Therefore, I return the curse to them. And they will suffer under the penalty of their own judgment against me. Well, Pastor, shouldn't you pray for mercy for them? I would if they wasn't trying to hurt me. But since they're trying to hurt me, I have the authority not to hurt them back, but to return their hurt to them. And every tongue that shall rise in judgment against you, you will condemn, cast down, and call it null and void effect. If you don't work your birthright, who's going to work it? You lose it. So say this, from this night forward, I'm working my birthright. I'm praying His word. His word in my mouth equals my victory. Now, verse 6, and we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Now that verse has stymied a lot of people. Excuse me. I'll tell you this, I tripped over it for years. God, this doesn't seem like it belongs in here. What is this? And he said, whenever you are one with the Word, then you can stop everything else. But as long as there's doubt, worry, fear, or intimidation in you, you can't. Your obedience to the Word has to be complete. God, your Word is the only Word on this subject. What subject? Any subject that pertains to life or godliness. Your word, with the stripes of healed, that's the only word in my vocabulary concerning my health. I am the healed of the Lord because it is written, with his stripes I was healed. And sometimes obedience is your only choice. When Brother Richard and Alfonso came to my hospital room and Brother Richard said, how do I tell the people to pray? And I told him, tell the people I don't want anyone praying for Pastor to be healed. That had to hit his mind and go, huh? Pastor, you know you're laying in a bed here and they say you can't live and you've had a massive heart attack and without something happening quick, you ain't going to live to tell about it. I mean, those thoughts had to have come to his head. We haven't discussed it, but they had to be there. But I said to him, from this day forward, every time the church comes together, celebrate the truth of Peter 2:24. Did he have to understand everything? Did he have to go to seminary and study out what all of that meant? So don't let the devil steal from you when the devil comes along and goes, Jerry, you know, if you really knew what it meant with his stripes, you were healed. If you had an understanding of all that went into that, and all I have to know is, oh, if I'm willing and obedient, I hate to go to the land. His word said, with his stripes I was healed. That is my divine response. That is my authority. I don't need to know how, when, where, what. All I got to do. So Brother Richard didn't have to, Pastor, as soon as I get back from seminary and learn how that's to be applied. Well, no. That was Saturday. Was it Saturday or Friday? Friday? Sunday, he comes to church, and what he does, everyone, we're going to celebrate the truth of Peter 2:24, with his stripes, Pastor was healed. And he led y'all in the celebration. Now, I know the first few times y'all did that, there were some people going, we're celebrating, but what's the doctor saying? We had faith ministries calling here saying that. Yeah, we know what you're saying, but what are the doctors saying? Well, what difference does that make? All you need to know is, with his stripes, Pastor was healed, and agree with that and cast down everything else that doesn't agree with that.
Right.
We are ready to punish all disobedience. What is disobedience? Anything contrary to God said. That is the definition of disobedience. Anything that doesn't obey God said. We punish that. We can curse, cast down, condemn any word when? When we are one with God said. When our obedience is complete. When we reach that point, Derek, where we say, whatever God said, that's my opinion on it. I said this to you once in 05 at our annual ministry anniversary celebration. I said, you are not in faith as long as you're quoting God. There is no faith in quoting God. Faith does not come from, well, you know, Letitia, God said. There's no faith in that. I sat with Madeline Murray O'Hare, and she could quote chapters from the Bible. No faith in that. You're not in faith until it's your word. Not God said with his stripes. No, it is written. With his stripes I was healed. Not, well, God said I'm healed. Because that separates you from God. This is what God said, but this is not what I said. No, it is written. With his stripes I was made whole. Now I'm not quoting God. God's word has become my word. And Napoleon, when God and I are two agreeing, well, Pastor, when are we going to get into the notes for tonight? Well, until we set the addendum in, you can't really jump on the notes for tonight. Prayer, real prayer, is needed more today in and for America than at any time previous. Real prayer is not a complaint. Oh, God, what are you going to do about the Supreme Court? Oh, God, please do something about the Supreme Court. None of that's prayer. No, I cast down the verdict of the Supreme Court because it violates, it is written. And because it violates, it is written, I decree their judgment and their verdict is null and void of effect, and it's being overturned, it's being reversed. And if they won't do it, I call someone else to the court who will to replace them. Real prayer is not a reciting of needs, wants, and wishes. Oh, God, I need a job. Oh, God, I need a healing. Oh, God, I need... Shut up. He knows what you have need of even before you ask. Now, if you believe that, you already know He knows what you need, so you're not bringing Him the need. You bring Him His promise. Real prayer is founded in and from faith in the God who can be trusted. Faith. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Pastor, I don't think I've got enough faith in this situation. God does. Just roll it over on His Word. Because it's not our faith that does it, it's the faith of Christ. Without, devoid of, emanating from another unction, whatsoever is not of faith. If it's devoid of faith, if it's without faith, if it's emanating from another unction, well, I hurt, I need, I want, I desire, then there's no faith in it. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Another translation says, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. If faith is not the motivation for what you're praying, it's not prayer, it's sin. God, I want, I need, I wish, would you please? Those are all sin. Prayer is a conversation with God. It is based on His nature and His truth. To back that up, we go to John 15:7. If you abide, take up residence in me, and my words abide, take up residence in you, ask whatever you wish. Now, what's the prerequisites? You're hooked up with me, and my word is hooked up with you. Then, ask whatever you wish that agrees with the word that's abiding in you and the nature that you're abiding in. Ask whatever you wish that my word agrees with, and it will be done for you. Not ask whatever you want, whatever you need, whatever you would like. Ask whatever the word qualifies you for in your birthright. Job 22:28. You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your way. When does what I decree get established for me? When it aligns, there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertains to everything that pertains to the life of God, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might become partakers of the divine nature. The way you decree a thing is it's already written. I decree the false decree of the Supreme Court is overturned and it falls totally unproductive, broken, cursed, and cast down. Well, Pastor, how many people do we need to get agreeing on that? The effectual fervent prayer of A. Not some, many, a lot. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To decree a thing before God, it must be of God. Don't bring God anybody else's word. Well, the doctor said, the lawyer said, the banker said. No. God, you said, therefore, in this situation, your word will perform it. To decree a thing before God, it must be of God. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Two of who? Just anybody? Or disciples? A disciple is a learner of God. If anybody learning of me agrees, then they're going to agree on what I said, not on what they want. You see, a lot of people are just agreeing on any old thing. Jerry, it don't work. The prayer junkyard is full of broken dreams where people prayed for what they wanted and told God, well, there's two of us agreeing for it. If Jerry and I both come into agreement that Ethel's going to give me her car, does that mean she has to? No. But we're agreeing. No. We violate God's word because we've touched a child of God. Two of you, the Word in you, the Redeemer in you, truth in you, two committed to truth believers, if any two are agreeing, but you got to abide in Him and His Word abide in you. It's not just two people. Let's agree that it's going to snow tomorrow. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. You don't agree for snow in harvest time. If you are hooked up in agreement with the Lord of the Word, and the Word of the Lord is resident in you, then your prayer shall flow from the heart, belly, that Word that lives in you. What's going to flow out of my belly? The Word. Word-based prayer. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Who is He speaking to? Natural, unregenerate people. Is that us today? Not if our mind has been renewed to the Word. The natural man thoughts do not, the natural man thoughts do not reflect God. The God of the Word operates differently than natural man. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, what's rain and snow? Water. And do not return without watering the earth. So water comes to you in different forms. Sometimes from the Spirit, sometimes from the Word, but it will wash away the doubt and unbelief. And does not return without watering the earth and making it bare. What makes it bare? The washing of the water of the Word. Makes it bare. What makes it bare? The washing of the water. Bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In the same way that water releases the life suspended in the earth to produce a crop, in the same way that water releases the life suspended in the earth to produce a crop, so my word will be, it will release the promise that's suspended in the Word, so will it be for the Word which goes forth from my word, from my mouth. My mouth makes the earth bear fruit of what my Word said. It will not return to me empty. So who's going to return His Word to Him? We do. When we're washed by it, we return it to Him. The Word will not return to me until it has accomplished what I desire. His Word gives His desires. And without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Why did He send His Word? To answer your prayers. Before you, He knows what you have need of before you ask. Therefore, He's put your answer in His Word so that when you're washed by that Word, you'll release the potential of that Word. And you'll quit asking God to do what He's already given you, the seed of. With His stripes I was healed is a seed that when it's watered by my trust in God and return it to Him, it releases the potential of my health. The Word of God being rained down on a situation in like fashion to rain falling on the earth releases the potential of the seed, or the Word. So Derek goes to prayer, and he rains down, it is written. No, I'll not have this sickness, this disease, this judgment, this ruling from the bank, the court, the whoever. Let every man be a liar, let God be true. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, and we know His Spirit and His Word are one, so if I'm being led by the Word of God, I'm a son of God. If I'm not being led by His Word, then I'm a problem to God. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea. Let them rule, not let them pray for me to fix. Let them rule over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth. Over how much? And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And this past week, the Supreme Court was creeping into things they shouldn't be. And we have cast that creeping thing down. Now, verse 26, God said it. Verse 28, God blessed them. You know, I'll just admit this to you because I know some of you have stumbled. In years past, I couldn't understand why God said Genesis 1:26 and then said it again in 1:28. And I didn't get it until God was explaining prayer to me. He said, when I said it the first time in verse 26, I released it into the earth. When I said it the second time, I activated the word that I'd already released. And God said, let us. Then verse 28, God blessed them. And he said the same thing that he had already released. God got in agreement with his word. Verse 26, God releases it into the earth. Verse 28, he comes into agreement with what he's already released to teach us how to rule and reign in the earth. Patsy, God says it, then we agree with it, and it's empowered. Verse 26, God said it. God said. Verse 28, God blessed them by reiterating what was already released into the earth. As a God said, now it's empowered by God agreeing with it. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the... The fact that God said it is not enough. We've got to enter into agreement with it and accept it as our word. Because as I said to you in 05, if you're quoting God, you're not in faith. And Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, or of a truth I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree. What was done to that fig tree? The Lord said. So he says, if you get in faith, you'll say, not you'll pray. But even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast to sea, it will happen. Well, I just spoke to a mountain called the Supreme Court. That's one of the seven mountains, law, or ten mountains. Be taken up and cast, see, it will happen. Did he say, if you pray and ask me to? No, he said, if you speak it, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Not all things you ask, asking me to do, all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I'm not asking God to do it. I'm speaking to it based upon what God has said. Faith and no doubt, then do what our Lord did. Speak to the situation. Ephesians 5:1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. What is he saying? Do imitate how God behaves. Speak it. Say it. When we do his word, we are doing his deeds. As the master demonstrated, speak to the object, problem, situation, in faith, which his word inspires. Yeshua did not pray about the tree. He exercised dominion over the tree. And then said to you, Demetrius, exercise dominion over. True prayer releases power. It is written. God doesn't need prayer warriors trying to get the job done. He has called for kingdom rulers to enforce Satan's defeat and to establish word of truth rule. Did you get anything tonight? It should grieve you when you hear anyone giving up on anything. It's always too soon to quit. Faith, through knowledge of what God said, produces truth in actions. Speak to it. Tell it to obey you because you have God's word on it. Father, I thank you that your word is washing our understanding. It's washing us from all unbelief and all disobedience. We are being compliant to your truth. And we will speak your truth and expect the tree to die, the mountain to move, the problem to be solved, the situation to change, the giant to fall, the lions to sleep, and the flames not to burn. Because we, in the power of your word, are more than conquerors. And Father, this night we serve notice on the world system. You will not any longer violate God's word, because God's word in our mouth defeats you at every turn. Church, be blessed. Go with God.